Bibles, notes in the front and back, if you haven't got them. Take your Bibles tonight and open up to Genesis 12. We are considering tonight as we, after tonight, we have one more eschatology next week, and then we'll be looking at some things on persecution, and then Pastor Andrew will take the Wednesday night services starting in April and be doing some cultural things with us, and you know, seeing what the Bible says and where, what side of culture should we be on. But racing towards Armageddon, tonight we're going to be considering Israel. So obviously the Bible has a lot to say about Israel, past, present, and future, okay? But every day as we watch our world get closer and closer to Armageddon, and we see images of war on our screens, does the Bible have anything to say about this? And does it give us details about the end times and who the players will be? Of course, we've already looked at Russia and China, the Arab nations. But one of the most important nations involved in end time prophecy is, of course, Israel, God's chosen people. And the Bible has much to say about Israel in the last days. God is not done with Israel yet. So let's look at a very brief, tonight we'll look at a very brief overview of the history of Israel from her start to her finish, okay? So limber up your fingers, okay? We have a lot to look at. But the biblical history of Israel, and in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, we see that God chose a man. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here in Genesis chapter 12, God chose Abraham to be the father of the Hebrew people and the Jewish nation. And God chose Abraham's family, verse 3, God chose Abraham's family to be the line from which the Messiah would come. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we know that that's speaking of the Lord Jesus. And so God chose a man. And just think about it. A nation today and a nation that throughout history has been as many as the stars in the heaven, as many as the sand on the seashore, started out with Abraham. And God grew Abraham's family. Look at Genesis 46. Of course, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 dysfunctional children. And in Genesis 46, verse 26 and 27, we know that the brothers sold Joseph into Egypt. The famine came, and God told Abraham, you know, God sent Joseph down there to save life. And while he's there, Jacob comes with his family. And in Genesis 46, starting in verse 26, the Bible says, all the souls that came from Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins beside Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. And all the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. So Genesis 46 tells us that 70, at this time, there's 70 people in Abraham's family, as Jacob is the head of the family now. And turn ahead just a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. What happened while they were there? Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So Joseph, of course, saves Egypt, saves the then known world, and Egypt's kingdom becomes big, and Joseph is made pretty much what we would consider today the vice president of the land. But after time goes on, the pharaohs forgot about Joseph, and they made the Jewish people their slaves. But what did God do to Israel while they were there? He grew them. You don't have to turn there, but Exodus 12, verse 40 and 41, tells us that they were in Egypt for 430 years. And scholars estimate that in that 430 years, that the 70 that went down there, when they left in the Exodus, there were 2.4 million Jews in 430 years. Okay, and that's a lot of people, so you can understand why Egypt is getting nervous. You know, if we have an uprising or if there's a war and they side with the enemy, we're in big trouble. So God grew Abraham's family, and God gave them the promised land. Andrew, could you put the first thing up? Now, never forget this. We hear a lot about this today, okay? Who gave Israel the land? God, okay? Now, we're going to look at some passages in a moment. But see that map up there? I can't see the map there, but anyway. See the map up there? See where Israel is today, that little yellow spot? That's about the size of Israel today. Does Israel have all the land today that God promised them? Okay, this is one possible map that shows the possible boundaries. We're going to see another one in a minute, but the possible boundaries of the land that God promised them. Look at Genesis 13. Go back to Genesis 13. Okay, the Palestinians claim that it's their land, and Israel claims that it's their land. Genesis 13, verse 14 says, And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Now skip ahead to chapter 15 and look at verse 18. And here's where we can see some of the boundaries. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Okay? So, the Nile to the Euphrates, okay? That is the land that Israel was promised from God. That is not the land that they have today, and truthfully, it's never been the land that they have had. Turn to Joshua, and Andrew, please show the second map. Now, some scholars say that this should be the land that they have. See the part that's like coming out 3D at us? From the Nile, and follows the Euphrates River all the way up to the Black Sea. Okay? So it brings in Lebanon and Syria and Turkey. Okay? Notice what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And of course, the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. So this is another map where people say that this could possibly be. But look at how small modern day Israel is today. You know, less than the size of the state of New Jersey. So this is the land, one of those two maps, or maybe some semblance of that. This is the land that God has promised them. Okay? So if that's the case, getting a little ahead of myself, in the future they will have all that land, even though they don't have it right now. Okay? But look at Romans 9. So the biblical history of Israel, God chose a man. God grew Abraham's family. God gave them the promised land, and God also gave them the law and made them a nation. Look at Romans 9, verse 4 and 5. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory? Of course, that's the Shekinah glory. The covenants, one of the covenants we're looking at now, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the new covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God. The service of God is the priesthood, okay? And the promises, all the promises. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So God chose a man to make a nation. He gave them a land, and he gave them the law of the land and the religion of the land. Because much like today in our world, Israel's not this way now, but an Arab nation that has Sharia law, you know, the Quran governs every aspect of their life, their political life and their religious life. What did the law govern for the children of Israel? Their political life, their religious life, their personal life, okay? So God chose this nation, right? That is the history of the people of Israel. God chose them. God gave them the land. Don't forget that. But something happened, of course, to Israel. And turn with me to Luke 21. God, of course, promised Israel that if you are faithful to me, I will be faithful to you. The one covenant that's conditional is the Mosaic law. If you're faithful, I'll be faithful. If you're not that God wouldn't be faithful, but he would punish them. Luke 21 in verse 24, Jesus says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trod down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, what does Jesus mean by the time of the Gentiles? The time of the Gentiles is from 586 BC. Now, we won't have to turn there, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 17 and 18, chapter 36 of Chronicles tells for us the three sieges of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar when Babylon took them captive. During the first siege in 605, Daniel was taken. During the second siege in 590-something, Ezekiel was taken. And then in 586, the final siege, Nebuchadnezzar's third siege of Jerusalem, the time of the Gentiles came in. And the time of the Gentiles will be from that point until Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, Revelation 19. So right now, you and I are living in what Jesus calls the time of the Gentiles. Okay? Look at Daniel chapter 2, and Andrew, could you put the next slide up? Sorry for the blurriness of the slide, but in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 31, Nebuchadnezzar, of course, has a dream, and he's going to kill all the wise men, including Daniel and his three friends, because no one can tell him what his dream was. So he said, I had a dream last night. Tell me what it is. And of course, so the wise men come up and they say, well, tell us a dream. We'll tell you what it means. He says, No. You tell me my dream and you tell me what it means. If you don't, you're all a bunch of frauds and you're all going to die, including Daniel. So Daniel asked permission for a little time. He prayed. God gave him the answer, told him what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and gave the interpretation of it. Here it is, okay? And it says in verse 31, Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was exceeding, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head of what was of fine gold, the breast and his arms of silver, his belly his size of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken into pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And it goes on and explains what each of those symbols was. And of course, the gold head represented Babylon, and the chest and arms of silver represented the Medo-Persia Empire. The brass midsection represented Greece. The legs of iron, Rome. Excuse me. The feet of clay, democracy, and the rock that became a mountain, the Messianic Kingdom. If you want to know more about this, come to Winnesquam on Sunday night. We're going to be studying this in great detail, okay? But not tonight, just a little teaser. Israel, since 586 BC, Israel has been occupied or ruled by various Gentile countries until this day. You may say to me, wait a minute, Pastor. Israel came back into their land in 1948. Yes, they did. Yes, that's exciting. Do they have all their land? Who is in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount? The Arabs. Okay? So they're still living under the time of the Gentiles. Even though they came back in 48, they don't have all the land God promised them. And they don't have the Temple Mount. So, today, we are living in the time of the Gentiles. Is God done with Israel? What's the answer? No, he's not. We're in Daniel. Look at chapter 9. Again, I do not have time to explain this in detail tonight. But if you want to learn about the 70th week of Daniel, come to Winnesquam on Sunday night and we'll learn that. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, the Bible says, in the first year of his reign, that's Cyrus's reign, Darius's reign, okay? In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So one day, an aged Daniel is reading the scrolls, and he's reading the scroll of Jeremiah, and he comes across what we would call Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12, and Jeremiah 29:10, he comes across those passages and he said, hey, we're only going to be here for 70 years. And he starts adding up in his mind. I came here in 605, blah, 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 blah. Wow. And so he starts praying to prepare the people for God to go back. Look at chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for the iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So God is telling Daniel that 70 weeks, and don't think of weeks like our weeks, but the word here, Shabuah, it has to do with a group of seven. So 70 groups of seven, okay? 70 years are determined, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And what is this? God was going to punish Israel for 70 years because of their not obeying God. And it says, look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Israel, okay? Nehemiah chapter 2, that is. Unto Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 plus 62, 62 equals what? 69. Okay? 69 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, speaking about his death, not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Happened in AD 70. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of a war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 69 weeks plus 1 week is 70. And in the midst of the week, so that's why we call the tribulation the 70th week of Daniel, because this seven-year tribulation is called the 70th week of Daniel. In Jeremiah 30, verse 7, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. But there is, if you will, a timeout between the 69th and 70th week, where we are today, called the church age. And what is God doing during this church age? I'm glad you asked. Look at Romans 11. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, okay, previously unrevealed truth, yet ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel. Why? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So during this time, blindness has happened to Israel. Very soon we'll be studying Romans 9, 10, and 11, talking about Israel. And blindness now has happened to Israel as a nation until all the Gentiles come in, the church age. And when the church age is complete, what event is next on the prophetic time clock? The rapture. When the church is complete, the Lord will rapture the church. Then his attention goes immediately back to Israel. The 70th week, okay? And so the battle of Armageddon and the messianic kingdom will come, okay? After that 70th week, all the nations of the world will come to fight against Israel and God. Psalm 2 talks about this, verses 1 to 6. Why do the heathens rage and imagine a vain thing? And they say, come, let us break the bands asunder of God and His anointed, His Messiah. But look at Zechariah toward the end of your Old Testament. Zechariah right before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. What's going to happen at the end of time with the nation Israel? The end of the time of the Gentiles. All the world is going to come against Israel. People ask me, where is the United States in end time prophecy? What does that verse say? How many of the people of the earth are gathered together against it? All. Okay? We're friends with Israel now, but we won't be friends with Israel then. Look at same chapter. Look at verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Notice these words. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. This is Jesus speaking, okay? When was Jesus pierced? His first advent, okay? This is his second advent. Israel will look on Jesus whom they have pierced, and what will happen? They shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for her firstborn. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So when the Lord Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, all of the world has come against Israel and the Messiah to finally, in their minds, we are going to destroy them, we are going to have nothing to do with them anymore, we are getting them out of the way. Israel's back is up against the wall like it never has been before. This is even worse than at the Red Sea. And utter destruction awaits them. And the clouds open up. And Jesus comes on a white horse and speaks a word. And he destroys all those nations and saves Israel physically and spiritually. Look at verse 6 of chapter 13. And one shall say unto him, what are those wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So here comes Israel's long-awaited Messiah. And they find out that what? All along, they were wrong. He already came. If you have never watched this on Facebook or YouTube, you need to go to a site called One for Israel. Okay? And O-N-E, One for Israel. And on that, you see all kinds of Jewish people that have come to faith in Christ. And almost everyone says, you know what the most Jewish thing I could ever do is? Trust Jesus as my Messiah. Because most of them are, they're fearful that when I become a Christian, I can't be Jewish anymore. And they come to find out that the most Jewish thing they could do is trust Jesus as their Messiah. Look at chapter 14. I love this verse. Where did Jesus leave from? What particular place did he leave from? Say it nice and loud. Mount of Olives. Look at verse 4. 14:4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. The great eastern gate, which is before the, right now, stands before the Dome of the Rock, the mosque. The Ottoman Empire sealed closed so the Messiah wouldn't walk through. Guess what? There's going to be a big earthquake and he's going to split the wall and he's going to walk through. He's going to come back exactly where he left. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall there be great tribulation. Okay, so there's a great tribulation coming, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs. Okay, the ultimate false Christ is the Antichrist. All right. And false prophets shall show great signs and wonders. Okay, there is going to be the false prophet that makes the image of the beast speak. Could the image of the beast be something that looks like this? Possibly. Okay. And false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, here he is here in the desert, go not forth. Behold, here he seeketh chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, will the eagles be gathered. So Jesus is telling them, look, if there's a little group over here having a secret meeting and saying, look, we found the Messiah, don't believe them. Why? Because here, look at verse 28, 9, I'm sorry. Immediately. What does immediately mean? Right now. Immediately. Immediately after what? The tribulation. So why are we pre-trib and pre-mill? Okay? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So what is Jesus saying? When I come the next time, everybody is going to know. Whether they're expecting me or not, everybody's going to know it's me. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And one more verse, one more passage to look at, Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 26 and 27. So what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation and at the beginning of the millennial kingdom? And so, here's what's going to happen. All Israel shall be saved, as it is written. They shall come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. So friends, there's coming a day when all Israel will be saved. And that will be when the kingdom comes. So, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, thou art the head of gold. So what is he saying? That head represented a literal kingdom. What was that literal kingdom? Babylon. After your kingdom, going to come the silver. Medes and Persian. Chest and two arms. Medes, Persians. Okay? Then's going to come the belly and thighs of brass. Greece. Okay? Alexander the Great. Then the legs of iron. Rome. And then, Rome never really was conquered. Rome kind of just, much of Greece and Rome today, the Senate and democracy and things like that we have in our, so it's iron mixed with clay, right? And during that time, this big stone is going to come, which represents the Messiah, and it's going to crash into the statue at what place? The feet. During that time of democracy. What's the big word around the world today? Democracy, right? We want democracy. And And the Messiah is going to come, and his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. That whole statue just grinds up to dust and blows away, and there is no remnants of Gentile rule in the Messianic kingdom at all. The most hated nation and people on planet Earth are God's chosen people, the Jews. But we need to remember the blessing attached to the promise of Abraham. I will bless those who bless thee and curse him who curseth thee. Praise God that there's coming a day when all Israel will be saved. This will happen. Why will this happen? This will happen because of the Great Tribulation. This will happen because of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, not Jehovah Witnesses. This will happen because of the two witnesses. And this will happen because of the Lord Jesus himself, the Messiah, coming to rescue them and save them once again. So is God done with Israel? No. This timeout that we have, if you will, is for our benefit, for our blessing. It's for until all the fullness of the Gentiles become in. And when that happens, when the church is complete, Jesus will come for his bride, John 14. And he will take us to heaven for the marriage feast. And we'll be celebrating the marriage feast for 7 years while God's attention is put back on Israel. And then we will come to the earth to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now that was a very long history in a very short amount of time.